What's up, guys? You found the Ethereal Path Podcast. I'm your host, Xander, and it's time to get witchy. Let's do this. Bide the Wiccan law ye must, in perfect love and perfect trust. 8 words the Wiccan reed fulfill, and ye harm none, do what ye will. What ye send forth comes back to thee, so ever mind the law of 3. Follow this with mind and heart, merry we meet, and merry we part. What's up, my witches and bitches? It is Xander, it is the Ethereal Path Podcast, and it is officially season 2. Why? Because I motherfucking said so. That is the best part about hosting your own little rinky-dink podcast, is that you basically get to make all the executive fucking decisions. The downside is you have to do all the fucking work. But anywho, so probably should have put a swearing disclaimer on this one, but yeah, fuck it, whatever. Season 2, if you're already this far into it, you kind of know what to expect. So if you're, you know, listening to this in a place where, you know, grandma's around, she can hear you, and, you know, whatever, your fault, not my problem. Anywho, just kidding, love you all. So yeah, it has been a fucking minute since I have been here. I do owe you guys an apology. Did have a slight little medical, issue that I kind of had to deal with. And it kind of took me out for a couple weeks. So everything's good. I'm 100% better. But yeah, so anywho, I do apologize for the radio silence. I was even trying to, at one point, getting around to just kind of throwing in an update, cause I didn't want to think I had abandoned this project or anything. But unfortunately, just, you know, things kind of kept getting in the way and pushing things back, and, you know, let's be real, life just fucking happens. So I kind of want to put something out there, you know, like going forward. My goal actually is I'm trying to at least drop a new episode, every Sunday. Usually about mid afternoon is probably when the drop's going to happen. But again, you know, can't guarantee the time, obviously, but basically this is kind of how I'm looking at it. If you have subscribed and you are a fan and you're listening, if you wake up Monday morning and there's no new episode, chances are shit happened, something went down, and I'm so sorry, but I'll be back ASAP. So yeah, that being said, let us jump into season 2. So what are we going to do for season 2? So this is kind of where I'm going to call you guys like my sophomores. And we're going to kind of continue on the whole like teachy Wiccan style thing. This is basically advanced magic now that we're going to get into. So we're going to really kind of get into some shit, and we're going to, you know, dig deep, and we're going to actually, you know, do like our work and all that type of stuff. So hopefully you have already listened to all of the other episodes. You have been practicing your meditative state. You've been working on your magical mindset. You've been getting your altar ready. You've been kind of playing with things and getting your way felt through. And we're going to start covering some historical topics, and then we're going to start covering some advanced magic topics, and we're just going to kind of go from there and see what this rolls into. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Hey guys, it's Xander, and I need you to do me a favor. When you can, or right now, please take a minute and go to all of the Ethereal Path social media accounts and hit like and subscribe. Content creators like myself need those likes and clicks to support what we do. From my humble little podcast to major productions like Devils in the Dark, oh my god, Helen and Danny, I love you so much. We count on all of you guys to keep us going. We do what we do because of you, and we want to spread our message to everyone who wants to hear it. No matter the size, every click truly does matter. So please, take a few seconds, hit our social media pages, and click all of those good buttons. It really does make a significant difference on our end, and we cannot thank you enough, especially me. So let's get back to it. So So let's dive into our first topic. And our first topic for season two is orchids. Yeah, orchids. You're probably like, Xander, what the fuck are you talking about? So, anywho, this I actually found absolutely fascinating. And so kind of started looking into it because so I fell victim to one of those stupid fucking, like, if you were a flower, what flower would you be? Like one of those fucking tests. 'Cause again, when you're sick and kind of fucked up on painkillers and, you're not really thinking, you're just kind of clicking shit. You're like, oh, I wonder what kind of flower I fucking would be. So I found out that I'm a fucking orchid, which I'm like, okay, what does, and then my brain just goes like 100 million places because, like, first of all, I kind of like love orchids. Like, every time, and it's so fucking funny because every time I'm in the grocery store and I see those like cheapy ass, like, ice orchids where, like, basically you just need to like drop an ice cube in there like once a week and that's like enough water for it and kind of stick it somewhere and just let it do its thing. Like, I always want to get one, but like, me and Green Thumbery have just had a very weird past, which you would think as a green witch, I would be so much better at this. But it just, it's a lot of, yeah. Anywho, plus I also, again, two pit bulls in the house. There's a lot going on. And a lot that I have to take into consideration. Like, it's, I have to be very careful with anything that could be, even remotely toxic to the dog. So, but I actually started doing some research on the subject, and it actually, surprise, surprise, has a lot of Wiccan history. So what I'm kind of going to go through is just a little bit about orchids and why they're so important in the esoteric arts and in Wicca. So first of all, orchids are actually one of the first or one of the flowers that are only monosymmetrical. Okay, so literally both halves of the flowering part are absolute mirrors of each other. And this is actually something that's kind of rare in nature. Where, like if you think about the human body, okay, our bodies, although, they are, they look symmetrical. Like, if you look at a person's face, the right side of their face and the left side of their face are not equal. Like, you're even if it's only off by, like millimeters or nanometers that you can't even see or not even visible to the naked eye, like, I guarantee your face is not 100% symmetrical. So that's actually one thing that kind of makes the orchid unique is that, that the flower is actually a complete mirror of each other. So if you fold the flower in half, it will 100% mirror the other side. It's also where basically it's the male and female reproductive parts are actually fused together in the orchid. And that lends, obviously a huge credence to, the belief in Wicca of, the divine masculine, the divine feminine, the joining of the two, of the goddess and god, in both the physical and mental, aspect, especially, like the Feast of Beltane is literally, the day of the dick. It's the day of, the sexual union of the goddess and god. It's, so just even having the fact that, the orchid, the male and female sexual parts of the flower and, biology 101 is like escaping me right now. I think it's like the stamen and the pistil or whatever. It's just, it perfectly lends into that, bonding and unity, and everything has its masculine and feminine parts and, everything like that. And ironically, the word orchid comes from the Greek orchis, which means testicle. So there you go, boys. Our balls are orchids. And ironically, as a nurse, I know that orchitis is, an inflammation of the testicles. And so literally when I read that, I'm like, okay, absolutely, not surprised in any way, shape, or form. But I guess the actual name for the plant comes from the tubers at the in the root, and basically they represent the male genital, or they resemble the male genitalia, is what I should say. So when the orchid was named, that's literally why the plant was called an orchid, because the roots basically look like a dick and balls. Like, okay, cool, that's awesome, you know. And again, with, you know, sexuality and reproduction, you know, being such a huge part of Wicca, you know, it kind of makes sense, you know. And again, we, you know, tend to focus a lot on the divine feminine aspect because, you know, Wicca is such a feminine driven religion, and you know, many of the practitioners are, you know, mostly women, and it's, you know, and a lot of work is around, you know, the divine feminine and the goddess aspect of the goddess and god. You know, again, it, you know, it's very important to remember that, you know, the masculine side of Wicca is just as important. And, you know, it's kind of one of those, you know, I remember growing up back in the 90s where, you know, like the only guys who were into Wicca were like, you know, either like the gay boys or like the goths. And it's one of those things where it's like, you know, it's starting to become a little bit more mainstream, but it still kind of is, you know, still a little hidden away. So, you know, it's one of those, you know, kind of, you got to just embrace it, and you got to just kind of roll with it. And, you know, you got to remember that, you know, again, for as much as we talk about, you know, the feminine aspects of Wicca and, you know, and all of those things, it's, you know, it is the duality that is the more important aspect of the two. So again, the fact that the orchid is so closely related to this is just not a surprise, and, you know, in any way, shape, or form. So again, like, you know, the poor, stupid ass college student that I should be, and I should be a little bit better at, you know, of citing my sources, you know, just kind of was, you know, tapping out notes as I was picking stuff up here, there, and everywhere. So it's, you know, I literally have pulled sources from, you know, different botanical societies and Wikipedia and just all sorts of fucking crazy ass places. So, you know, I kind of just threw this little amalgamation together, but I do not have any sources for anything. So, you know, I'm not out to steal anybody's work. I'm just trying, gonna, you know, kind of throw that out there. But, you know, so another thing that I found out, so I'm just going to kind of straight read this out of my notes because it'll just, you know, make it easier. You know, as a symbol of purity, orchids symbolize faith, humility, safety, elegance, innocence, and beauty. Due to their namesake, orchids are associated with fertility, virility, and sexuality, which obviously makes sense. These associations, coupled with their exotic appearance, have given them a long history of being associated with love, fertility, and elegance throughout various cultures and time periods. A beautiful bringer of wealth, health, and all good things in life, orchids have known to have the power to make you feel more calm, more relaxed, and optimistic because it actually produces a lot of oxygen, particularly in the evening when it's not busy with plant food making, also known as photosynthesis. They are also given as a congratulations flower or to wish someone good luck. They convey friendship, warmth, and well wishes. And the boat orchid is actually the ones that we are most familiar with. There is so much to unpack in there, and it's all, to me, like, completely fascinating, especially, again, you know, with, you know, the concept of what I'm trying to, you know, do with this podcast and, you know, just, you know, get that, you know, concept of, you know, changing the way we think and, you know, all that out there of, you know, so, you know, it's almost like the orchid is like the perfect flower if you think about it, basically. You know, I love the fact that, you know, it's, you know, it's a super oxygen producer. You know, so basically it's either doing two things. It's either, you know, making food for itself during the day, or it's basically circulating the air at night, which is awesome. So, you know, if you think about it, that, you know, would have a calming and relaxing effect on the body. It would also explain, you know, the fertility and virility and sexuality part, because let's be real, you know, the better the air we breathe, the healthier we are, the, you know, the more virile we are, the more calm we are, you know, the more stable we are. You know, again, it's why I have air purifiers like running all over my damn house. It's because, you know, unfortunately, you know, still is a smoker. But you know, it's that whole, you know, I fully recognize that the air I breathe is, you know, 100%, you know, affecting me day in, day out, and it affects all of us, you know. So it's little things like that that you think about. So it's like, you know, and you know, I'm like, you know, resisting the urge to go like crazy and just, you know, like flood my house with orchids. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I always kind of wanted to. So hey, what the hell? So of course, you know, I had to do like the little Wiccan tie-in. So I kind of actually tied it in with color magic. And so, you know, I was thinking about it, and I'm like, you know, well, let's say, you know, someone wanted to go out and they, you know, did want to buy some orchids, put around the house, kind of see what they wanted to go with. You know, kind of did a little bit of, you know, let's look at, you know, what color association might mean and yada yada yada. So here is your quickie guide to if you do want to go out and get an orchid, maybe what color you would kind of look for. So white orchids, this is actually put into a wedding floral arrangement for purity and elegance. It can be displayed in a specific place for worship of faith or spirituality, or to simply enjoy beauty in your home. Red orchids are the perfect flower to pair with Valentine's Day flower arrangements or to display on your own for just a special someone. Red orchids are also associated with strength and courage. The Aztecs even believed that combining certain orchids with chocolate would give them such qualities. Now, I do have to put a huge ass motherfucking disclaimer down right here. You know, yes, I know that I am a registered nurse and I am also a practicing green witch. So I do study a lot of plant magic. I never, ever, 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 ever suggest ingesting anything that is not specifically food grade. So, despite the fact that the Aztecs believed that combining certain orchids with chocolate would give them the qualities, the strength, and courage, I do not in any way, shape, or form encourage the eating of orchids in any way, shape, or form, or any other plant matter in any way, shape, or form. Furthermore, as always, nothing that I say on this podcast is ever to be construed as medical advice because I am not giving advice under my license in any way, shape, or form. I am giving it out of just common sense and good common knowledge. So, again, as a green witch, I do not endorse the ingestion of anything that is not of food grade quality. And if you need more information on what is considered food grade quality, basically, if you didn't buy it at a supermarket, I do not recommend eating it. So pretty much there you go. Yellow orchids associated with joy, success, creativity. They symbolize friendship and new beginnings. They make great gifts to celebrate accomplishments. They also make great gifts for a friend, and they symbolize sunshine. Green orchids are for good health and they strengthen family relationships. They are a massive symbol of luck. Pink orchids have often been sought after as a symbol of healing, tenderness, and friendship, and they often make a comforting get well gift. Pink orchids also symbolize femininity, grace, joy, and elegance. They can use be to be shown admiration, appreciation, or gratitude. And finally, purple orchids, they symbolize royalty and admiration, and they are traditionally given as a sign of respect. So there you go. There is a quick and dirty history of orchids and their association with Wicca and how they play into color magic. And if you are ever considering getting or gifting an orchid, there is your quick guide to what color might be the best for you. So I am going to take a quick break and we are going to come back and we are going to talk about some of the little advanced magic. So sit tight and I'll see you in a bit. Have you ever wondered if you're on the right path? Do you feel like you need some guidance? Let Ethereal Path help you on the next step of your spiritual journey. Whether it's a tarot card reading, spell creation, chakra stone set, or a customized item, Ethereal Path can meet almost all of your Wiccan and esoteric needs. Visit ethereal-path.com to learn more. Don't forget that dash, it's super important. That's ethereal-path.com. Blessed be. All right, so let's get into some advanced magic. So if you have listened to season one, quote unquote, which I love the fact that I'm starting again, that I'm just starting a new season because I just fucking want to. If you've, again, if you've listened to season one, if you've been doing all the work, and you've gone through kind of all the steps, now this is where kind of like the rubber hits the road. So what do we mean by advanced magic? And it's really more of, this is just kind of where you start bringing things together. So, we've talked about candle magic, we've talked about color magic, we've talked about tarot card reading, we've talked about knot magic, we've talked about all sorts of different things, like how to write a spell, and but it now it's time to bring it all together. So, I'm actually going to talk specifically today about knot magic, and I actually have a sample knot magic spell that I'm going to give to you guys, and you can use it as you want. So again, just to kind of like recap. So knot magic literally is where you are tying knots to create spells. So knots have had magical purposes for centuries. And again, it is a way, if you think about it, when you're tying a knot, you are tying something tight, you are sealing it, you are making it stay put. Okay. And there's different ways people could believe in, breaking knot magic spells. Sometimes it's untying the knot, sometimes it's burning the cord. It kind of all really depends. A lot of the most popular spells, binding spells are very popular. Unbinding spells are actually very popular. Protection spells, healing spells, love spells, money spells. If you actually think about, if you've ever been to the beach or some touristy trap destination, have you ever seen those very flimsy like hemp like anklets where there's like six like just colored stones on there, and it's one of those you basically tie it around your ankle, and as you're tied it around your ankle, you make a wish, and basically when the knot breaks and the beads go flying everywhere, like you're just supposed to like walk away, and that means your wish is about to come true. That's actually a very basic form of knot magic. Is it cheesy? Is it chintzy? Yes. But does it work? Yeah, actually it does work, but it depends on the level you put into it and how much, how deep you go into it and get into it right away. So here is how you truly, truly cast a knot spell. So first thing, just like Amber Earle always says on, worst cooks, you gotta do your mise en place first, so get all your shit together, so you gotta have your string and your cord, you gotta have, your candle, if you wanna use any herbs or oils, you would wanna have that. If you're gonna be doing any writing, obviously you want, paper, pencil. And remember, we're also gonna be tying in like color magic, so your strings and your chords should, the colors should also be representative of what you're trying to achieve. So if it was, say, like a money spell, you would, obviously you would want the color green in there. If you wanted it to become, say, due to, okay, so I'm just, trying to think, like my job as, as a registered nurse, part of my job is, a lot of education. So a lot, and one of the ways that we educate is by speaking. So, if I know the color blue is also representative of the throat chakra. So, I want to become a better communicator because I feel that, if I become a better communicator, it's going to increase my job performance at work. They're going to notice, they're going to give me a promotion, or I'm up for a promotion, things like that, so I want to become a good communicator. The green is also representative of the heart chakra, so I can even tie that into, I want this to be coming from a place of, that's true to my heart. So maybe I would even weave in like another color green, or let's say, I wanted to add a little bit of a masculine touch, I might throw some gold in there, or if I wanted, a little bit of a feminine touch, maybe I'd throw like a silver cord in there. But again, keep it in three. So, three colors, six colors, nine colors, however much you're gonna weave together, whatever. But again, you wanna keep it, you want it to relate to the spell that you're trying to cast. You got to choose your time and place, again. So like today, here in, it is what, July the 9th, here, I think it's around like, 9:48 PM, something like that, Eastern Standard Time, is when we are going to hit the last quarter. So again, this is the perfect time to do any like waning magic, any, releasing magic, getting rid of like, toxicity, toxic thinking, toxic people in your life, things like that. So, again, choose that time, choose that place, make sure, it aligns with the intention of your spell. Find your space, create your area, cast your circle, light your candle, burn incense, or just, simply create a circle in your mind, and, create your spell. Focus on your attention. What do you want to achieve? What are you trying to do? And then here is where, if you have the spell and it's, you start either writing the spell right before you cast it, or you can even, focus and meditate on having the spell ready to go at this point, and this is where you cast your spell. And you speak your intention out loud, and as you're tying your knots. And again, if you want to go in the proper witching order, you have your three cords, they are already intertwined and braided. And your first knot goes on the far left, your second knot goes on the far right, third knot goes straight in the middle, and then you tie your fourth knot in between your first and third knot. You tie the next knot in between your third, or I'm sorry, your second and third knot, and then you go back to the left, back to the right, back to the left, back to the right, until you have three groups of nine knots. So, if you go actually on our Instagram page, and I think I put it out there on the Twitter page too as well, and I probably put it on the Facebook page. There's a couple of different pictures of knot magic, and the way a witch's knot should look. So, you can always go out there and reference it, or just take a quick Google of, hey, what does a witch's knot look like? And it'll show you. You'll see the three groups, the order that you tie them in. The whole nine yards. It's all right there, easy to find. And then when you're done, you end the spell. Close your circle. Thanks, to the people who, assisted and things like that. And you just kind of go from there. Close your circle and do your thing. So, what kind of knots people tie? Sometimes people get into the different types of knots. So, like a square knot, people usually tie that knot to represent stability and strength. An overhand knot is used to represent beginnings and endings. A figure eight is a powerful knot that is used to represent protection and healing. A Celtic knot is actually a complex kind of knot that's used to represent love and eternity. I will tell you right now, I am not a Boy Scout in any way, shape, or form. So therefore, I do not know how to tie a knot. I tie a knot the way I tie a knot, and that's just the way it is. I'm not even trying to learn all that shit. Again, just a quick review of colors and what the colors can represent. So if, white is, associated with purity, innocence, protection. Black associated with power, strength, and mystery. Red is association with passion, love, and lust. Green, growth, fertility, abundance. Blue, peace, tranquility, healing. Yellow, creativity, joy, and happiness. Orange, energy, enthusiasm, motivation. Purple, spirituality, wisdom, and magic. And like I said, if you want to represent the goddess and god, usually gold is representative of the divine masculine, silver representative of the divine feminine. There is a quick and dirty, lesson on, knot and color magic. Some people actually choose to use cord, which is, totally fine. And again, you could be tying a length of cord that is just gonna be a tiny little just string of knots that you're gonna leave on your altar. You could wear your knot as a bracelet and basically kind of create your own little chintzy version of the Myrtle Beach tourist trap. You could be creating some massive decoration for your home. I've seen people who have woven like witches' knots into like wreaths and stuff as like, like welcome gifts in for people's homes and stuff. So it really all depends on what you want. If you do use cord or something that is able to absorb material, this is where herbal magic can come into. So you could actually soak the cord in some oil that has been put had some herb put into it. So just to go over some of the common herbs that we use in Wicca, rosemary associated with love, protection, and memory. Lavender, love, peace, relaxation. Sage, purification, cleansing, and wisdom. Mint is associated with love, money, and luck. Basil is associated with love, protection, and prosperity. Chamomile, healing, very relaxing, also helps with sleep. Calendula is associated with healing, protection, and beauty. Yarrow, protection, love, and courage. Mugwort, dreams, psychic abilities, and protection. One of the things that I always caution people with, though, if you're going to use any sort of like herbs or oils or anything like that, make sure that you make and you're going to be giving it as a gift or using it for yourself. Make sure you are aware of flammability. Make sure you are aware of safety, especially if you have pets around. Like I said, I know that I have stuff on my Wiccan altar that, some of the herbs that I have are super dangerous for my pets, so I have them kept, safely in a spot that they can absolutely not get to them. So you got to be mindful, especially, pets, kids, whatever you have going on around you. So there's your basic setup for your knot magic. Now it comes time to actually do the spell. So I'm gonna take a break. I'm gonna, just take a drink. I'm gonna kind of refocus a little bit. I'm gonna come back. I'm gonna give you, like I said, a knot magic spell. Now, one thing that I'm gonna say is I actually wrote it a couple different ways. So there's gonna be a spot where you can insert any sort of personalization. If you want to use my words, I have absolutely no problem with it. By all means, go ahead. I have used the spell myself. I'm also gonna suggest two different endings. Sometimes, like I said, people prefer to burn the cords to actually, symbolize whatever they're trying to get rid of or they're trying to unbind themselves for. Some people like to keep them tied or like to untie them. So I'm gonna hit a point where there's actually gonna be kind of like a dual ending, almost kind of like the movie Clue. So kind of like the movie Clue, just in Wiccan form. That is the best analogy I could have ever come up with. So yeah, like I said, give me 2 seconds. I will be right back, and then I will give you the knot magic spell, and we will wrap up the first episode of season two. All right, guys, here we go. So, like I said, I'm gonna hit a point in the spell where there is some customization, and that I'll let you know when I hit that point. And then I will let you know for path A and path B is what I'm gonna call them, which wording that you can use. And again, you can customize the words to fit what you would like. Like I said, this is a spell that I actually have come up with myself. I have tried it. It has worked for me. So again, if you want to use my spell verbatim, go for it. I give everyone permission. That's, kind of the whole point, is, us to share any sort of magical knowledge that we have with each other. So without further ado, here is your first not magic spell. And it goes like this. I take 3 cords of different hue to bind my magical work true. I knot these cords together tight to create a powerful bond of light. I hold these cords within my hands and focus on my magical plans. 3 by 3, I tie my knots to materialize my most wanted thoughts. I hold these cords up to the sky, where my words will also fly. I bind desires with these cords, my power stronger than the strongest swords. If you have any spell customization, this would be the part where you would insert it here, and then you would continue on. I place the cords upon my altar and leave them there 3 days. Henceforth, I will meditate on my desires and manifest my gaze. With 3 moons in the past, the cord comes down and the ending comes fast. Choosing path A, if you were to burn your cords, add these words. I burn these cords to rid of strife and trust that they will manifest in my life. If you're choosing path B to keep the cords tied, add these words. I tie these cords to keep things near, to remind of things which I hold dear. And then continue on with the spell. As the smoke rises up, I come to the end. My spell is complete. That which is broken will mend. I scatter the ashes of the cords to the wind. My spell is set free and shall not rescind. The goddess and god will make my wish manifest. And in humble return, I give always my best. So mote it be. So that's your first not magic spell right there. So now again, even though I know some people are going to not choose to burn the cords, the smoke at the end, if you choose to light a candle, I would actually snuff the candle and that would be the smoke that I would reference. If you are like me and you actually like to write out your spell and you would like to burn I keep wanting to say paper and parchment at the same time. And it's, so I'm like, put, put, put. If you would want to burn the paper or parchment that you have written your spell on, you could use that smoke. Or if, again, the wording just doesn't fit, take it out completely. So, again, try it out. See what happens. Play around with it. Again, you know, if you always put down that intention of, you know, what you're doing is for your greatest good, harming none. And, you know, you put that level of protection on there and you are staying true to your heart, then, you know, nothing will go wrong and you have nothing to fear. So with all that being said, thank you guys for all tuning in and listening and keeping this podcast going. And again, despite, you know, the little hiatus that I never thought I was going to be taking, I still saw the play count going up. I still saw that you guys were supporting me. It means more to me than I can ever express. And I am so grateful for it. And I'm so grateful for every single person who's ever heard my voice. And just the fact that it is being heard around the world in so many countries is just beyond humbling that I could even imagine, or that I can even express, I should say. So with that, go forward, have a great week upcoming, and blessed be. I am Xander, and I am out. The Ethereal Path Podcast is hosted by me, Xander, and is owned by Ethereal Path, LLC. The show is recorded, produced, and hosted on Spotify for Podcasters. You can find us on the web at www.ethereal-path.com. Don't forget that dash, it's super important. We're on Facebook and Instagram as Ethereal Path, and on Twitter as @EtherealPathPGH. This is also our email address, etherealpath@gmail.com. Our DMs are open on all of our platforms. The Ethereal Path Podcast can be found on all major podcasting platforms such as Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Radio Public, Pocket Casts, and all other major podcasting platforms. Our Etsy shop can be found under Ethereal Path PGH. Links can be found below and on our website. As always, be sure to like, subscribe, and turn on your notifications. Every one of those clicks makes a huge difference. Thank you for listening, and blessed be.